Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So we are, of course, in uncertain times, businesses finding a way to survive COVID-19. But our next guest has managed to successfully launch right during the circuit breaker period.
And it didn't stop there. Shortly about a month after launch, a Dataset went on to acquire two more companies at a regional scale. And against the climate where there's a lot of uncertainty about the future of local and homegrown companies, especially SMEs, the question is, how did Dataset achieve whatever they have during this period of time?
On the line with us this morning is Jason Lee, co-founder and managing partner of Dataset. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Elliot. Hi, Manisha. Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. Dataset, an integrated data intelligence company that operates in Asia. And what's interesting was you guys successfully launched and you were funded by angel investors. You raised a seven-figure sum in pre-Series A funding right during the circuit breaker period. In the middle of the pandemic, everyone is expecting a soft investor market. I mean, I'm curious, before we get into some of the details, how did you do the fundraising during circuit breaker? Was everything online?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty true. So it's quite an interesting process. Obviously, with travel restrictions, we no longer had the option of meeting our investors face-to-face. But with video conferencing, with multiple Zoom calls, we were able to execute the process during that period.
Well, it's very impressive. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people who'll be familiar with the many Zoom call experience. But to be able to actually raise funds in that sort of an environment, there was often the question at the time, wasn't it? Do you have to be face to face for these sorts of things to happen? Obviously, you didn't plan it that way, but you must have learned a lot of lessons.
Definitely. I think we were pretty fortunate in the sense that we've been able to actually speak with some of these investors face-to-face pre-COVID. I think it was interesting that we were able to follow through with the process during the circuit breaker, where pretty much the world was on lockdown. I think one of the biggest lessons and takeaways from us is the need to actually adapt and overcome. I think pretty much everybody faced the same set of challenges during that period of time. And, investors, as much as businesses, they also had to look at the entire process and overcome it on their own end and adapt to the new norm that we are all facing.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about Dataset as a business. I mean, what is the business model like? And would you say, you know, because we're in a pandemic, data intelligence is so important and perhaps that's gives you a push to really succeed?
Definitely. So at Dataset, we are essentially a data intelligence group. We specialize in the monitoring of media, be it social media, be it TV, radio, broadcast. And we actually provide our clients with media intelligence solutions for different business needs, such as from a corporate communications standpoint or marketing or product development, as well as media research. So with the world going to lockdown, right, global online content consumption has actually doubled during the pandemic. You know, from an average of around 3 hours spent on the different mediums, that's doubled during the pandemic. So with that said, right, essentially the need for the sort of monitoring of such mediums become even more critical. And, with changing consumption habits of consumers, I think it's important that organizations are tuned in with such consumption patterns.
And as I understand it, just a month after the launch, which, as we've already established, was in the middle of the pandemic, that Dataset then went on to buy two more companies at a regional scale. Now, you're talking about how the demand absolutely surged for your product. Was that something that had already been on the cards? Because M&A doesn't just happen overnight. You obviously had pretty good timing there.
Well, I guess it's a long time coming. I think these two target companies have been folks that have been on our radar for a while. We've been speaking to them on and off. It's quite a niche business, pretty much who all the players are. And it helped that pre-COVID, we really had this conversation that is ongoing. I think the entire plan for us was to look at building a regional network where we look at local providers with in-depth knowledge of their markets to actually come together and provide a regional coverage for our clients. Because with a lot of monitoring and communication needs, this tends to be headquartered at a regional scale. And I think we are pretty fortunate in Singapore where we have a lot of regional headquarters being located here. And navigating, different media landscapes in different markets is definitely a challenging task. And we actually saw the opportunity for us to build a network that can address these needs.
Jason, so you got me at data intelligence, media networks, media landscape, right? So I want to do a bit of case study. US presidential elections, how was DataSet involved? Were you involved? What did you do? Could you share with us?
Well, I think we do monitor media data, and I guess with the US elections, that is also not something that's unfamiliar to us. Mm. You know, with the US elections, we saw a surge in terms of online content, media, social media content, specifically surrounding conversation around the elections. I think there was a lot of interest, even in this part of the world. And I think for us, we are essentially a data collector. We collect data surrounding the US elections and other topics for sure. And it's pretty interesting if you look at the narratives around the US election. And in our part of the world, you see that it's a little bit more blue-leaning. And I think that's a few one of the key takeaways that we were able to actually pass aside from you know, a lot of other sort of pointers.
That's such a good question, actually, especially since we would have seen a surge. And, you know, we only have to look at newspapers, which are more traditional, to see how much of a surge there is. But, you know, something about Joe Biden that we all know is he's on the older side, as politicians go, at 77. You, on the other hand, are a young entrepreneur. How has that been a part of your journey amidst COVID-19, if at all?
I guess from a fundraising perspective, right, sometimes there are obviously going to be considerations in terms of actually having to deal with a young entrepreneur. But I personally feel that, you know, as much as there are considerations in that space, there are no shortage of trailblazers. I mean, if you look at the likes of NinjaVan, the likes of ShopBack, I think the leadership team, the founding team, are actually, you know, it's actually a pretty young team. I guess it, you know, proves that having a strong commercial plan and innovative ideas essentially is the bedrock of obviously the fundraising and as well as putting together a business plan that is really strong. It kind of helps that I also had close to a decade of experience in this space, in this very niche space. I think it really helped instill investor confidence. So that's been pretty humbling experience for me also too.
Yeah, we've had a few young entrepreneurs speak to us on this show, actually. And some of the feedback that we often get is just being able to convince investors of gravitas and enough experience. But at the end of the day, isn't it the numbers that matter?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely on point in that. I think having to prove a path to commercialization and demonstrating that having a team that's put together that prove that they have the proven track record, I think that's really, really significant and important.
All right, speaking with Jason Lee, co-founder and managing partner at DataSet. Jason, let's talk about media intelligence. We are in a very interesting time. Early on, we talked about a very simple thing in the grand scheme of things, which is influencer fraud. But, you know, for businesses, how important is it to take advantage of media intelligence, especially in this period of time?
And if you think about the media intelligence business 30, 40 years ago, right, it actually pretty much started by having to look at newspapers, cutting out, you know, clippings, and essentially, believe it or not, glue it on a piece of paper and we deliver it to our clients. So that's pretty much how it started. Obviously, that's changed with the need to actually digitize today. You know, today you're talking about influencers, you're talking about, you know, social media, you're talking about new mediums that are coming out. You know, TikTok has pretty much exploded on the scene. I think it's such a dynamic social media and media landscape that we are seeing that's ever-changing. And, you know, brands are struggling to adapt to these changing conditions to actually operate on such mediums. It's interesting that you talked about the need for media intelligence this day and age because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, consumption patterns have changed, consumption habits have doubled, actually. And more so now than ever, right, you have people who are tuned in. If I'm a business hoping to tap onto that, it has a huge impact in terms of the way I actually market my products, in the way I actually do my product development, as well as reputational management from a public relations standpoint.
Mm. But is it challenging, Jason, to keep companies patient where news is being verified, especially in worst case scenario where you've got crisis management, media reports to put out, media reports coming in, and sometimes not reacting too fast is the best?
Absolutely. You're definitely like right. I think with the whole fake news sort of a phenomenon we're looking at, disinformation is a huge part of what's happening online. Having to verify that obviously pushes the cycle a little bit. But I think the industry has adapted in the sense that in the past, right, if you think about the media cycle, you're talking about, hey, you know, maybe something that happens in the morning, you read a paper, you tune into radio, you look at a TV broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. And essentially, that was how people actually reacted to that. But, you know, in the last couple of years, with social media, you know, with people actually tweeting, with data coming from Facebook, you know, public relations practitioners had to actually react in a much more rapid manner, sense that, you know, anything can break anytime. But, you know, with disinformation, with fake news, I guess people have taken a step back. They're going to step back to reassess and essentially put in certain functions in place to actually do verification and react in a more, I'll guess, thoughtful manner, how I say so. So, for example, if you look at virality, right, virality online, it's not just, I would say...
Clickbait
is one thing, okay. But I guess it's not just a numbers game in a sense that it's not just about likes, not just about comments, but okay. At the same time, right, also acceleration in the sense that within an hour, how many, you know, likes, tweets, shares you actually get looking at. Mm. So that's actually a very, very important concept for practitioners to actually take into account.
Yeah, in fact, all of that disinformation that came out during the pandemic itself, and I can completely understand why there was such a big demand for your services during that time and ongoing. It shows us that there is a movement now for people to want to understand that landscape a lot better. As we look at the future, can we think of a world in which we will have media intelligence companies sort of help regulate the kind of information that we're all consuming?
Well, in honesty, my personal opinion of that is that as a media intelligence company, our vision and our duty to our clients is to inform them, to actually essentially give them insights into this space. I don't see it as our, you know, function to actually regulate that space. I think that's something that, I guess, from a media regulator, from an authority standpoint, that's something that they are and they actually have to look at and as a provider of service on our end.
But you can help provide the data, right? That's the problem, is that we just don't have a vision of the kind of disinformation and where it is.
Surely. So I think regulation definitely is not what we do. But having said that, right, you have certain best practices to help identify what possibly could be disinformation, what possibly could be something that's not credited, something that could be fake news, and inform our clients in that space. So we do have best practices put in place. We have people coming to us and say that, hey, you know, could you help us identify that? Could you help us actually make some sense of that base?
All right. Excellent conversation. We've been speaking with Jason Lee, co-founder and managing partner at Dataset. Jason, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.